Well, not since you don't get to hear me talk enough, I guess. Aunt Effie asked me if I would speak a little bit this morning, especially on Veterans Day. We all celebrated it Thursday, and I think probably everybody here has a connection with the military, whether you served yourself or you had a family member serve. But you know, the military has done a lot for all of us. Somebody wrote that it was the veteran, not the preacher, who's given us the freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who's given us the freedom of the press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who's given us the freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, who gave us the right to assemble. It's the veteran, not the lawyer, who's given us the right to a fair trial. And it's the veteran, not the politician, who's given us the right to vote. First of all, I have to, full disclosure, I'm not a preacher, you know that. You all know me way too well. But I know how to Google. And so these thoughts are not my original ones, but they spoke to me, and hopefully they will give you something to think about. We owe every veteran who is here now, who's gone before us, a big debt of gratitude. Because they were willing to serve, they were willing to go and give up their life here on behalf of the US. With that being said, what does it take to be a veteran of the faith of Christ? There are three simple steps that I found. One is to obey the commander, and you know, if you were in the military, you didn't always like what they said, but you obeyed. Number two, engage the enemy. And many of you have seen combat, so you had to engage the enemy. And number three, fight to the end. There's no other choice. If you obey the commander, you know, that's pretty big, a big deal. Like I said, sometimes you don't always agree with them. And an illustration that I found was, I thought, hit home. There was a blowhead, a blowhard, I'm sorry, Air Force major who was promoted to colonel. And those of you who've been in the military know sometimes those offices can just get to their head. He got a new office and he heard a knock on the door his first day, and he knew there was an airman that wanted to talk to him, and he wanted to impress him. So he picked up the phone and he said, "Yes, General, thank you. Yes, I will pass that information on to the president. Yes, sir. Goodbye, sir." So he turned around and looked at the airman and said, "What do you want?" You know, very harshly. And the airman said, "Nothing important. I just wanted to hook up your telephone." So some people have authority, and some just pretend to have authority. And then, of course, we've all encountered people like that. A soldier wants to please his commanding officer. That's all this airman wanted to do. But our ultimate commander in chief is Jesus Christ. At the bottom of your bulletin, you see one of the scriptures I picked out, Ephesians 1:22. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Again, he's the ultimate authority, the ultimate commander. He's the head of the body, our church. And we need to listen to him, which we don't always do. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" And we're all pretty guilty of that, I imagine. I know I am. The second step is to engage the enemy. There was an 18-year-old in Seattle who apparently stole a car, a police car at that, went for a joyride. And the theft was reported on the law enforcement, you know, broadcasts, and one of the bicycle patrol officers in downtown Seattle spotted it, and a police car immediately gave chase. Well, when there was an oncoming traffic, they had to stop so that they didn't run into them. And after about that time, a second police car pulled up. Well, the first one thought that was the one that, or the second one, I'm sorry, thought that was the one that had been stolen. So they rammed it to stop it. Well, first policeman thought he was under attack. So he pulled out his gun, got out of the car, started shooting. There were two officers in that car. They shot back. They shot 25 rounds before they realized they were shooting at each other. They weren't shooting at the suspect. And that's what happens sometimes in churches. We do more shooting at each other than we do shooting at the real enemy. And as Christians, we know we're at war, but we're not supposed to be at war with each other. When we fight with one another, all we do is help the enemy, and that's, of course, the devil. And the devil loves church fights. That's how he gains control. So we need to be sure we're fighting against the things that we should, you know, that are of the devil, rather than fighting each other. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." An old deacon used to come, now Gene, this is not about you, used to come to prayer meeting every Wednesday night, and he prayed the very same prayer. And he always ended it with, "And Lord, clean out all the cobwebs of my life." And he did this week after week after week. And it got to be too much for one of the other fellows in the church. And after the deacon said, prayed this prayer one night, the other fellow leaped up and he said, "Lord, Lord, don't do it. Kill the spider." And sometimes we're so focused on the cobwebs, we don't go, you know, for what the force, what caused it. We all have cobwebs, but our real enemy, of course, is Satan. And we need to fight against him and do what we need to do to bring in the big guns. And that's in the form of prayer, Bible study, serving, helping, you know, giving, you know, all those kinds of things that we are taught. And the third step is to fight to the end. Matthew 10:22 says, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." And there was a man who said he had a young friend who just came back from boot camp. And in boot camp, you get used to your life being dictated to 24/7. And he had trouble adjusting to a 9-to-5 world. But the Christian life isn't a matter of 9-to-5. It should be a matter of 24/7. And we can't just be coming to church on Sunday morning and thinking that's enough. We have to forget, we can't forget about the faith the rest of the week. It's a 24/7 reality. So we have to keep on fighting all the way to the end if we expect victory. 2 Timothy 4:7 kind of sums it up. At the end, we always want to say, "I have fought the good fight." But have we? Will we? Will we be found fighting all the way to our dying day? And we forget sometimes. We get a little lackadaisical. The person that doesn't have anything to fight for is willing, who is willing, let me start over. The person who has nothing to fight for is a miserable creature. And in life, there are some things that we have to fight for. Our freedom in America and our freedom in Christ. And our veterans have helped give us both of those. And we salute you today. Gene is a veteran. Tom, Stan. I know we've had numerous others go through. And we want to salute you and thank you for your service. And we also want to thank God for all our veterans and those who protect the USA.